the invitation song will be number 317, which will be sung immediately following the lesson. All things are ready. And if you are in need of obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, or coming forward and acknowledging error in your life, and you need to make corrections publicly, well, we ask that you do that at that particular time. Number 317. This morning, we are going to be discussing how we can make it through the storms of life. We have recently had some storms come through here in the Little Rock area that's come up from the Gulf. Previously, hurricanes, Gustav and Ike, and had some damage out at my house from Gustav. And I was laying awake the night that Gustav came through, and the limbs were hitting the house right and left, and I couldn't get any sleep at all. And perhaps you experienced the same thing. How do we make it through the storms of life, though? Those are one kind of storm, a storm that we may experience. But what about the storms that come along in our daily life? How do we manage to get through, to persevere, and to be victorious over these storms? We're going to be studying from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, and John chapter 6, verses 15 through 21. Now, Matthew 14, 22 through 33, and John 6, 15 through 21 are two different accounts of the same storm. But we're going to be looking at both of those accounts as well as Matthew 8. Now, let's get one thing perfectly clear. We're all going to face storms somewhere along the way. No way around that. That's just the way life is if we live long enough. We're going to face storms in life. James chapter 1 and verse 2. There's an important point there that James makes. You know, he doesn't suggest that, well, we may or we may not have trials and tribulations in life. He says in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." When you do this. He doesn't say if you do this. He says when this happens. The question is, how do we face those difficulties? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "There is no temptation that has taken you but such as is common to man." And the word temptation there certainly includes the temptation to do that which is sinful. But it also includes any testing or any trial that may come our way. And I assure you, as that passage goes on and tells us, that there is no trial, there is no temptation, there is no testing of our faith that we cannot bear. We need to understand that. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. But we need to realize we're all going to have storms. Now, let's say that you're here this morning and everything's just smooth sailing for you. In fact, you know, on the Sea of Galilee, most of the time that sea is just, when it's tranquil, that is, it's as calm as it can be. Very beautiful. In fact, someone once wrote that God made all the seas in the world, and last, He made the Sea of Galilee just for Himself. It's a beautiful sea. And maybe you're out on the Sea of Galilee, figuratively speaking, of course, this morning, and everything is just perfect. You're calm, serene, everything is wonderful for you in your life. Well, great. I'm glad for you. I hope that it continues that way, but I want to tell you right now, it's not. It's not. Storms will come. But you need to be thankful for the good times. You need to enjoy them. You need to be grateful to God. And you need to be preparing during the calmness for the storm that comes your way. Because storms will come. And we need to prepare before they get here. You know, when Gustav came ashore, as well as Ike, you know, people, what did they do that lived there along the shoreline? They went and got plywood and they put over their windows. They prepared for the storm. In fact, people who live along the Gulf and along the sea lines, you know, they have things like that in storage because they are doing that on a regular basis. They are prepared for the storms before they come. We need to do the same thing in life. We need to prepare for the storms before they come. We need to have Jesus Christ in our life. We need to be following Him and serving Him by faith because storms will come. But you know something else? Storms often come on the heels of great success. That's the way life is. Everything's going along wonderful. We're at the top of our game, and then what happens? Boom! Here comes the storm. That's the way it is. Now, there may be reasons for that. It may be Satan just trying to destroy you. That's very likely. Maybe it's God testing you. Maybe God is trying to bring you down. I mean, Satan's trying to bring you down. God's not going to do that. But whatever the reason for the storm, listen, sometimes they come on heels of great success. And when we think we're at the top of the world, boom, it just falls out from under us. And then what do? And plus, you know, we have those in our day who are going along they're the joy boys. You know, they're saying everything, if you're in the will of God, everything's going to be perfect for you. You're going to have great success in life. You're going to have great health. And you're going to be rich. You're going to have all the money, the financial situation. God wants to bless you. And so if you're in the will of God, then everything's going to be perfect in life. Well, that's just not the truth. There could nothing be further from the truth. In fact, there is a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. That's what it is. Baloney. It's not true. I want to talk with you this morning about six things that we need to remember while we're going through storms. Six things I think that will help you, and they again come from Matthew 8, Matthew 14, and John 6. Let's begin by remembering this. We need to remember who is in control. Turn with me back to the book of Matthew chapter 8, and we were reading, had that read to us a few moments ago. In Matthew the 8th chapter, notice what is said in verses 25 through 27. In fact, let's just read verse 23 beginning and go all the way through verse 27 again. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? We need to remember who is in control. We need to remember that. And we do know, according to Psalms chapter 89, Psalms 89 and verse 9, we know that God controls the sea. We know that God is over all things. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. God is in control. So we need to remember and turn to the sovereign Lord when things become difficult. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 14 right now. And I want to read with you, beginning in verse 22, down through verse 33. And then we're going to turn over to John chapter 6. And I want us to keep this in mind. Jesus Christ is in control of all of these situations. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to the Lord, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly you are the Son of God. In John's account, in John chapter 6, in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 15 down through verse 21, we have the same account, we have a different account of the same event. Verse 15 says, Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because of great wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the boat. And they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. You notice how Jesus, in both of these accounts, when he was needed by the apostles, he came to them, and immediately things were okay when he got into the boat. Everything was fine. You know, Jesus is in control. We need to remember that. God may not have appointed the storm that comes in our life, but I'll tell you this, He permits it. Nothing happens that God does not permit or that God does not allow to happen. Now, Job 1, verses 9 through 12, we know that Satan was behind the testing of Job. Satan says to God, "Look, Job, he's a man that serves you just because of this hedge that you built around him and just because you've blessed him so. But if you take those things away, he's going to curse you." And God said, "Okay, test him." God permitted it to happen. God knew the character of Job. God knew what he would do. But he permitted everything be taken away from Job. But you know what? Job remained faithful. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, there's another thing that's interesting to me. The scripture there says, "Time and chance happeneth to them all." Time and chance happeneth to them all. Accidents, and there are some who think that God flips every little switch. Everything that happens, God appoints or God approves of. Well, He certainly allows it, but I don't believe that God flips every little switch, every accident that happens. Every sin that occurs, God's not flipping that switch. God's not causing that to happen. God may not have appointed the storm, but He does allow it. And let's remember this, that God is in control, and when we turn to Him by faith, even in the midst of our storms, we can find calmness, we can find peace, and we can find victory in the end. We need to remember who is in control. That's something that a lot of folks forget. But there's something else. Going back to Matthew 14 and verse 22. You know what? Jesus told His disciples to get into that boat. He commanded them to do that. Now, I just wonder, Him being sovereign, knowing what was going to happen, surely He knew that a storm was going to come up. But He told them to get into that boat and go across to the other side. Jesus told them to do that. Now, you know, storms can bring about various things in our lives. Now, it depends on how we respond to that storm. We can allow storms of life to destroy us. We can allow them to completely devastate us. Or we can allow those storms to bring about our growth and strength and patience. That all depends on how we respond to the storm. But storms are intended to, if you will, separate the wheat from the chaff. Storms are intended to distinguish between the holy and the righteous and the godly from the ungodly. In Psalms 4 and verse 1, I'll get there in a second. The Scripture says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." It is in distress sometimes that we truly find ourselves. We find who we are. Storms can cause strength. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. It is through the storms of life, the trials of life. We're to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, James says. "For you know that your trials work patience." Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. "And that patience works hope." So we're made better. We're made stronger. We're made more godly through these storms. That's the intent of God in every storm that comes into our life. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to face these storms by faith. And notice what Jesus said in both accounts in Matthew 8, Matthew 14, and John 6. "O ye of little faith." Why did they not trust Him? Through faith, storms can refine us, purify us, and bring about the salvation of our souls. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, the trials that they were going through could purify them, refine them, and bring about the salvation of their souls through that process. So the purpose of trials is to help us, not destroy us. Now, they may destroy us. They may. Like Pharaoh. There were trials that came upon Pharaoh. How did he respond? Say, I will not let the people go. And so God sent plagues. And after a while, Pharaoh softened up a little bit and he said, okay, I'll let the people go. But, and then he had changed his mind. And God would send another plague. And the scripture says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, God hardened Pharaoh's heart by removing the plagues and allowing Pharaoh, thinking, okay, everything's fine now, and commanding Pharaoh to do something that Pharaoh did not want to do. And because of that, Pharaoh's heart became harder and harder. And the scripture also says, by the way, that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. It was because of the way that he responded to the storms that came into his life. Let's remember that there is a purpose. A poem, don't know who wrote this, but it says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she. But all the things I learned that day from her when sorrow walked with me. How much more do we learn in trials, in times of sorrow, in times of difficulty, than in times of pleasure? Isn't that what Ecclesiastes chapter 5 is really talking all about? You know, the reality that here we go into the house of mourning. Which is better, the house of mourning or the house of feasting? We learn so much during the times of difficulty about ourselves. But there's something else I want you to remember. I want you to remember that Jesus is our intercessor. In Matthew chapter 14, going back to our text, Matthew 14 and verse 22, or verse 22 and 23, notice what the Scripture says. First of all, Jesus sent them out into the boat, into the middle of the sea, in verse 22. Then verse 23, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening had come, He was alone there. Where was Jesus during the storm that these disciples were in? He was on this mountain praying. You know, the Scriptures tell us that Jesus is praying for us. And sometimes we may wonder, where is Jesus? You know, in our trial, in our storm, here we are. We are in the depths of sorrow or in great distress. And we wonder, where is the Lord? Where is He? Why doesn't He hear me? In John 6 and verse 17, it says that they were out in the middle of the ocean in this storm and Jesus had not come to them. I'm sure they were wondering, where is Jesus? Where is He? When we need Him? You know, last time in Matthew chapter 8, He was right there in the boat with us. But now here we are. He's not here. Where is He? We need to know that Jesus is at work for us. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's working for us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, that particular context is all dealing with the storms that these early Christians were going through. In Romans chapter 8, it's dealing with that, with the trials that they were to face. And it talks about in verse 26 how likewise the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. During these times of trials, the Holy Spirit is there. And He makes intercession for us in verse 27. But then you go on down and look at verse 34. It says, who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. When we are going through the most difficult times in our life, guess where Jesus is? Guess what Jesus is doing? He is there, our intercessor. He's for us. He's on our side. Don't forget that. Remember that Jesus is our intercessor and He's ever living to make intercession for us. Something else we need to remember. You go back to Matthew chapter 14 and John 6. John 6 and verse 19 says this. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. Now they had rowed a long way. You think about that. They were going into a contrary wind, according to Matthew's account. And they were rowing, and they were working hard. And in Matthew 14, verses 24 and 25, it says, during the fourth watch. So it was late at night. Okay, they had gotten in the boat right at the beginning of darkness. And they had gone, it was way on early in the morning. They had been out on this sea all night long. And they had rowed 3 or 4 miles through this hard wind. And can't you just hear them saying, row harder, work harder? They weren't getting very far. You know, Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, verse 10 says. You know, we can't do it by ourselves. We can't be saved by ourselves. If it were not for what Jesus has done for us, we wouldn't have any hope at all. We need to know that. We cannot, in that sense, save ourselves by our own merit. By our own labor, we cannot deserve salvation. We cannot earn or merit it. Now, certainly we must obey the Lord. And salvation is by grace. That is unmerited favor. That's the very basis of our salvation, the unmerited favor of God. Now, certainly we access that through faith, and it is a faith that works. It is a faith that obeys. But without that favor, that unmerited favor, none of us could be saved. James 2 talks about that. Faith must work. But the reality is, working in and of ourselves, trying to row as hard as we can, even in the storms of life, guess who we need? We need Jesus with us. Too many people try to make it through the trials of life, through the storms of life, all by themselves. Friend, you need Jesus. You need the Lord there with you, to comfort you, to help you, to strengthen you. You need the Lord. You can't do it on your own. And how I feel for people who are trying to make it through the storms of life all by themselves. We do need Jesus. Matthew 8 and verse 25. We need Him. Lord, save us. That's where we need to be. And we need to ask Him. We need to seek out His guidance. We need to seek out His help. John 14 and verse 6. There's no other way to come to the Father. There is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And something else we need to remember. We need to remember that Jesus is near. There in Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Here they were out in this storm in the middle of the sea. And Jesus is right there in the boat with them. But they're still scared to death. Didn't they know who it was that was in the boat with them? Didn't they know that? And in the other two accounts, in Matthew 14, verse 26 and John 6, 19, it does say Jesus came to them. Jesus drew near to them. But when they first saw Him, they didn't recognize who He was. And sometimes when we're going through trials, when we're going through difficulties, we may not know that it's the Lord that's bringing something about. We may not recognize His goodness and His blessing, but we need to. We need to know that all good things come from the Lord. We need to know that He's always there with us. He's never far away. He will never forsake us. That's a promise. And Jesus will come to calm our fears if we will seek Him. Matthew 14, verses 25, down through verse 27. It says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the water. See, Jesus will come. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. They cried out for fear. They didn't recognize Him. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. During the storms of life, when we feel so vulnerable, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ can be there, and He will be there, if we will but let Him calm our fears. There is nothing worse than being in a position where you're totally out of control of the situation. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're afraid. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know where your life's going to wind up. You don't know. That is a terrible, terrible feeling. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is there. He is there. Turn to Him. And going back really to point number one, again, just to reiterate it, but we need to remember, Jesus has power over the storms of life. You go back to Matthew 8, verses 26 and 27. He has power. When He said, "Peace be still," what happened? And they marveled, "Who is this? Who is this man that has control over the wind and over the sea? Who is this?" When Jesus is in our lives, there is peace. Now listen to me. This peace, and Matthew chapter 14, verses 31 through 33, when Jesus got into the boat, what happened? The winds calmed, everything was calm, everything was peaceful. Well, what is this peace? You know, peace does not mean the absence of a storm. It does not mean a total tranquility of trials and tribulations. That's not what it means. It means to find peace, that is, serenity in the midst of the storm. When Jesus is in our life, there is peace. Even though things are tumultuous all around us, things are falling apart, if Jesus is in our life, we still have that peace of God that passeth all understanding. We have that. We will reach our intended destination if we by faith trust and obey Him. In Matthew 14, verse 22, Jesus commanded His disciples to get in that boat. Now, I believe that Jesus was in control of that situation from beginning to end. He knew exactly what was going on. And He told His disciples to get in that boat. And He told them to go across to the other side. He saw them through, didn't He? He saw them through. In fact, John's account in John 6, verse 21, when He got into the boat, they were immediately at land where they were heading. And I tell you what, friend, Jesus can get you from point A to point B. When He tells you to do something, He'll also give you the strength to carry it out. And He'll give you the strength to complete your journey if you will but accept that strength. If you will but follow Him. And you know, I may not know your trouble this morning. I may not know your storm that you're going through. But I can tell you who the answer is. I can tell you where you can turn. I can tell you what you need to do. You need to turn to the Lord. You know, the way of the transgressor is hard. The burden of sin is hard. I can tell you who can remedy that burden. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls." If your burden is a trial or tribulation has come upon you, a difficulty in life, listen, I may not know your particular problem, but I know the answer to your storm. It's Jesus Christ. He will give you strength to persevere if you will but seek Him out. That's a promise. God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And that is the truth, friend. We need to remember who is in control of life situations, of life circumstances. It's the Sovereign Lord. We need to remember that there is a purpose for trials. Now, we may not understand those purposes, and there may not be a particular purpose in every trial, but there is a design for trials themselves. And that is to strengthen us, to purify us. And we need to also remember that while we are in the midst of our storm, Jesus is always there making intercession for us, ever living to make intercession for us. We need to remember that we can't make it on our own. We need Jesus. Quit trying to row through the storm all by yourself. You need help? Get help. And there's nothing wrong with having your brethren help you. I'm not saying that you don't need other people's help, but listen, most importantly, who do you need? You need the Lord's help. And remember, Jesus is near. He's always there, ready and willing to come to us in the midst of our storms. When we need Him most, there He is. And remember who has power over the storm to bring us through to our destination. It's the Lord. He will give us the strength for the journey. You know, we're all going to have storms. The real question is, how are we going to face those storms? That's the real, real question. God has not promised you smooth sailing, friend. He's not promised that. But He has promised the faithful that He will provide for you your destination. That's a promise. Not smooth sailing, but the arrival at your destination. The greatest storm of all is coming for those who refuse to submit to Him. The storm of judgment. There's no escape from this storm for those who refuse and reject His will, who reject His plea to come to Him. I want to tell you something. There's no escaping that storm after it hits. But you can prepare for that storm right now by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can accept Him as Lord. Obey Him as Master. Why not believe Him? Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be buried with Him in baptism this morning for the remission of your sins. And then continue to serve Him and live for Him. In doing that, throughout all of your storms, you'll have Him right there with you. And you won't have to face that storm, the storm of judgment. That storm is coming. That storm is coming. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, giving account for the things we've done in our body, whether it be good or bad. That storm is coming, friend. Are you ready? If you're not, you need to get ready right now. Why wait? Make the decision right now to come to the Lord. If you're in the midst of a storm and we can help you, let us know. If you need to obey the gospel, why don't you come forward this morning and do that? If you need to make correction in your life, you need to make public confession for some sin in your life, do that. Won't you come as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected for your encouragement.